Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Kickstarter fails. Zane Lamprey still can't deliver.
Twitter is useless. Hashtag duh.
Are you over 30? Tinder calls you grandpa.
Facebook can access your account. Well, they did build it and they don't charge you anything for it.
The color blue, not just a bait for stoners anymore.
Lasers on sharks.
Okay.
All right. Now we can go back to talking about the weather, Jason.
Now we can go back to normal. Sunday.
Well, you know, a little insider baseball. I never listened to the show because I'm lazy. I did a few times and I realized that we went from, you know, a pretty strong Bob created intro to us going, hey, it's pretty cold outside. Oh, it's nice here.
Maybe
we should do a little intro.
It kind of annoys me that you don't listen to the show. I've listened to every single episode multiple times just to make sure that when you were editing, you didn't fuck up. But now you don't even listen to our own show. Damn.
I'm listening to it right now. I'm listening to it live, Jason.
Live. Oh, man. It hurts my feelings. I like the sound of my own voice more than you do, but we'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Zane Lamprey screws up again. The drinking jacket, which I spent a lot of money on and I funded, is late.
I did laugh at you at the time, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So I was right.
Yes. Well, and I knew that it was going to be late. It's always going to be late. They're never on time. It's Kickstarter.
Kickstarter
in
general,
nature of the beast,
is never on time. But you and I have personally been burned by Zane Lamprey before, so this is not shocking.
Yeah, months and months and months late on his last one, which was Chug, which he then sold to, I think it was Nat Geo.
Yeah, Nat Geo, actually. Yeah. And then Nat Geo actually, well, I guess technically we got a bit of a bonus there because Nat Geo actually did edits of the shows that we saw.
Really? They did supercuts?
Yeah, they cut them down, I think, to half-hour episodes while we got the full hour or whatever.
Oh, we got 44 minutes.
Yeah.
But they were nice. I enjoyed the show.
The show was fine. I still hold on to my dream for the original show, which was the best, the Three Sheets to the Wind.
Definitely the best. Yeah. And a follow-up on the Pebble campaign, which is now officially the most funded Kickstarter of all time. With 21 days to go, 65,000 plus people have spent $16.5 million for this little watch.
That's insane.
It's insane. Yes, it is utterly insane.
It's not even that nice of a watch.
I know some people that have them and they love them, but you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. 16 million.
16 million.
Good on you. What are you going to do?
Oh, man.
I have some follow-up as well. We talked about that Distill Union Wally Bifold slim leather wallet a couple of weeks back, and I actually did order it. I got it. I'm using it on a daily basis. I wouldn't say it's life-changing, but it's definitely by far the most slimline wallet I've ever owned, and I like that. And every time I bust it out to pay for something, people do tend to ask me or want to look at it. So it's a cool little wallet.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll check it out next week when we hang out in person.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, even though I am in lovely Southern California, we're doing this over Skype, which is silly, but I don't have a car.
It's not silly because that is the nature of Los Angeles. It is easier for me to get to Chicago than it is to get to the Valley.
That's true. That is actually true. Scary, sad, but true.
Yes.
And when I came in yesterday, I did not Uber. I actually called a limousine company.
Congratulations.
And had them send me a town car. And it was more expensive than probably an Uber, but it was nicer. They met me with a sign. They had my name and the dude was waiting for me. And he was a professional soccer player from Sweden.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's driving a car here.
He's a real estate agent. And one day a week he drives a limo to just make some extra cash because he's like getting his real estate business going. But it was cool. I got to meet a professional, ex-professional soccer player from Sweden. I didn't know they had those.
Well, they do have those. They have lots of soccer teams there. And they're actually quite good. And, you know, they're usually good second, third runs in the World Cup. So go Sweden.
All right. Okay. I figured there was too much snow to play soccer.
No, they play soccer everywhere in the world except for here.
Am I snow splaining? I don't know.
But let's transition from your Swedish driver to IKEA, which is coming out with its gigantic own line of wirelessly charging smartphone table desks and lamps.
Yeah, this doesn't work with my phone, so I didn't really care that much.
No, it doesn't work with my phone either. But I mean, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the wireless charging things a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, there's no more mainstream way to go than to actually have IKEA carrying these things.
No, it's very cool. I don't know anybody that's going to buy one. But when Apple picks it up, I'll move over and give it a shot.
Yeah, that's a big deal. They're going to need Apple to pick it up. So
now I wonder if you can get a case that that does this, because I've seen induction charging units for an iPhone at like Target. You know, you can buy it. You have to have a special case that plugs into the, you know, the lightning port. But yeah.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of ease of just putting it on your desk?
Well, no. If you have the case that does that facilitates the charging, then you just set it down. You know,
use the case all the time.
So. Yeah. The problem is the case sucked.
You know, I like to live dangerously. I tend to go caseless.
Oh, commando.
I go commando style. Which is probably stupid, but that is what I do.
Well, I have AppleCare Plus. So what I do is, you know, I generally tend to have a case because the fucking phone falls out of my pocket all the time. It's like a slippery bar of soap. So I like a case that has some grip to it, you know, and I have the case that flips, like if I flip the edge around, it turns into a shutter release button.
Yeah.
So I like that. But yeah, I took my phone in last week to get it fixed because the glass broke. It came loose.
Yeah.
And the funny part was when I was there, I got there like half an hour early just to try and, you know, beat the line for my appointment. Mm-hmm. And they saw that I was there like waiting for half an hour. And when the girl came out, I'm like, you know, she's like, oh, we can probably reseat it and all that. I'm like, I need the fastest option because I got to go.
Yeah.
And she saw that I was there for half an hour and they gave me a new phone.
What?
And they gave me a new phone and they didn't charge me one of my dings on the $79 plan. They're just like, here's your phone. Go get out of here.
That's impressive.
I was amazed.
Gonna double down on that Apple stock now, Jason?
Well, it's down now. I'm waiting. Here's the deal with the Apple stock. When the announcement comes out on Monday, whatever the announcement is, the stock is gonna tank.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna buy.
Yeah, I actually might go in and buy a little bit more again too, because I've been watching the online chatter about the watch. It's just gonna be insane.
Oh yeah, it's gonna drop like a stone. Mm-hmm. And then when everybody figures out that everybody's gonna buy one anyway, then the stock will go back up.
Yes.
People are so dumb.
Nah, speaking of dumb, The Atlantic had an awesome article about Twitter, which basically confirmed everything that I've been saying about Twitter for quite a while.
Which is?
The unbearable lightness of tweeting. What good is Twitter? And this guy actually went through and did stats. We love stats. We love statistics. He basically found, we do. We're geeks. Geeks love stats. He basically went through and found that you can tweet to your heart's content and it will not drive any traffic to anything ever.
Well, yeah. I mean, duh. Most people don't even read. I mean, when you go in to check your Twitter stream, are you a completionist or do you just skip to the end?
Neither. I scan.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is almost a completionist type of mindset. I just skip to the end. So
right.
And anything that is tweeted from, you know, midnight last night to when I have my morning sit down, which is when I check Twitter, it's all gone. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Although people might think that I saw their tweets. I don't. And you do the same thing. Yeah. Twitter's entertainment. It's not a traffic driver. You know,
well,
never has been.
Somebody needs to explain that to the rest of the entire world, because like I've always said, Twitter has the best PR company known to man, because you cannot watch news or a TV show. Everybody just acts like Twitter is the end all and be all of the Internet. In fact, the Internet is Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, hashtag this, hashtag that. Chris Messina ruined the Internet for us. But no, I mean, OK, Kevin Rose actually sent out a tweet to his 1.2 million Twitter followers. Way back in the day, he's like, hey, my buddy Jason's recently single. Anybody want to go on a date? Guess how many replies I got? Three.
We need
1.2 million. And I got
sounds.
Three replies.
OK, well, there could be other variables there.
Yeah, me. Yeah,
that's not what I would call a clean scientific test, Jason.
You're a dick.
I know. Anyways, moving on beyond Twitter, I ran into this article on Slate called The Semi-Retirement Myth, and it depressed the hell out of me. We've talked a lot about this, about the economy and how bad it is, and we are grumpy old geeks, and this article is about the generation that's a bit older than us, but it's really depressing, and it's about how, you know, they're saying they're not going to retire and blah, 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 and then the real reason being because they actually don't have any money, and then they find out that nobody will hire them because they're old and they'd rather have young people. So that was super depressing. But the real takeaway for this one from me is they did talk a little bit about our generation. And let's go back to those facts and statistics again, which we love so much. They talk a bit about retirement accounts for our generation, Generation X, which I guess we're on the cusp of. And the fact that basically everybody in our generation has next to no money in retirement saved up. So quick note to myself, I'm going to add a shack in the middle of nowhere, Mad Max style vehicle and plenty of ammo to my pre-retirement assets because we're going all fucking thunder.
Oh, yeah. No, we're working till we're dead. That's it. Yeah. That is the takeaway from this. Unless we want to move to Montana and buy a plot of land. You know,
but I mean, the takeaway from this is that we need to work until we're dead, but we're not going to be able to find jobs because nobody's going to hire us when we're old.
See, well, that's the difference. I don't care about finding a job. You know, right. You and I can both, you know, make money on the internet somehow, period. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where we really kind of should pay attention to. And a lot of people should pay attention to this because you can actually make a good living without having to ever have a job. Period. Yeah. You know, yeah. That's my whole fucking career. 20 years. I've you know, had a few jobs. All the jobs I've had sucked. The times when I make my own money, make my own fortune, go out and find loopholes in the system and exploit those loopholes. And that's how I eat. And I think a lot more people need to kind of get on that bandwagon if they really do want to have some kind of stability going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with that. You know, we've seen there's no such thing as company loyalty anymore. Pension plans, retirement plans are a thing of the past. Most people don't stay with their jobs for very long. And if they do, they'll get fired and replaced by somebody younger and cheaper anyways at some point. The corporate world is just shafting people big time. So, you know, I'm right there with you. I've been here doing my own thing just as long as you. And, you know, what it lacks for instability, well, the stability isn't there anymore anyways in the corporate world. So.
Oh, yeah. No, if you find yourself talking to somebody whose title is Director of Human Resources, run the other direction and go figure out how to get some money. I mean, honestly, the internet is there. You can figure it out. You know, people who are just it annoys me when people say, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent this month. I'm like, well, go and put your boobs on Snapchat and you can make $20. You know, there are ways. This goes back to a New York Times article we'll talk about in a little bit. But there are ways to make money on the internet that don't require you going to have going to an office and having a job.
Right.
You just have to be creative. You have to be creative. You have to hustle. And that's it. You know, and we're stuck with this because if we do try and work at a job, we're never going to retire, period.
Yeah.
And save. People save. My net worth right now is about -$78,000. And I'm realizing that time is running out to kind of figure this stuff out. So this article really kind of depressed the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the one good thing and the one smart thing that I did is when I first started my own company, when I left the corporate world 20 years ago, I had a really good accountant who said, you are going to take and put in the maximum amount that you can every single year into your retirement plan. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He made me do it. I made some decent picks on my stocks. And if you are a younger geek out there listening to our show, if you're in your 20s, start pumping it in as much as you can, because that stuff builds up over time. I am fingers crossed and barring any massive crashes in the system, in which case who cares, because we're all going to die anyways and it will be Thunderdome. I'm doing all right for retirement.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah. Then I'll come over to your place. you can float me some beans and rice.
Again, I will be going to an undisclosed location.
Well, the one thing that I do have is a lot of ammo. So.
And I'll be using a VPN to connect to you so we can do our Skype shows. And you will not know where I am, Jason.
Brian, if there's one thing I can do, it's find you.
I know. It's depressing.
Now, speaking of depressing, I listen to the Morning Dump, Jordan Cooper show, every morning. Sadly, I'm in Los Angeles now, so I had to have to get up at 6 in the morning to listen to it. So it's a little early. But on one of his shows this week, he had one of the best Indiegogo projects I've ever seen. And it's called the Beater Meter. Yes, it's basically leaderboards and a wearable for jerking off.
Yeah, I saw that in the show notes. I was like, I really don't want to click on this, but I felt the need to do it because I already knew you're going to harass me for not going back and listening to the shows. So the least I could do is click on all the links that you put in there. This is disturbing.
Well, here's the thing. It's never going to get made because
I hope not.
We listened to the show. I think Jordan did it like early last week he did it on, like, I think it was Monday. But he gave $1. And wanted his name up there as a sponsor for the Beater Meter. Since then, not a single person has given them any money. So,
good.
So, no, I thought it was proof that we were just going to all die alone in a pool of our own juices, but apparently not.
Yeah. Well, apparently, if I could mail in a roll of quarters to those guys as a donation, I should, because guess what I've noticed recently? Banks do not accept coins.
What?
Last I checked, they were legal tender.
Yeah, they are. They're money.
Yes, they're money, and they should be, and banks should be required by law to do this. I will not. Well, no, hell, I'm going to name them. Screw you, Wells Fargo. That's my bank. And, two or three, I have a big piggy bank that I just dump change in. I don't like keeping it. I don't like holding on to it. So anytime I come home, I just throw change in it. And once every 2 or 3 years, I empty the damn thing out and I have like a couple $100 worth of change, basically. And I remember the last time I did it, probably about 3 years ago, they were a bit snippy about it. They weren't pleased to be taking my change, but they took it all and, you know, they run it through whatever machines that they have, wherever they have them. And, you know, you're off a little bit here or there. They do a correction and, you know, I trust them. I don't care. I don't want to count it all myself. Here, take my money. If you tell me I'm $5 off, fine. I don't care. This time around, no such luck. I took in all my change the first time, and they told me, well, they can no longer accept more than $50 of change per day. And I was like, this is legal tender. This is a bank. Why can't you accept it? Their rules, whatever. The next day, so I was like, all right, I'm just going to have to make a couple trips. Big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
I come in the next day and they flat out denied taking any more from me because the change wasn't perfect. At which point I said, well, I don't have a perfect counting machine. I just have one of those ones that you can order off of Amazon and you slide your change through. It's going to be a little bit off. No big deal. You guys run it through your machine. Whatever it is, it is. No. Denied.
That is fucked up.
Yes, it is.
That is completely messed up because
it should be illegal.
Yeah.
We don't like coins either, banks. I would be happy if there was no change. Unfortunately, I'm saddled with it. So why the fuck do you get a free pass?
Yeah, that is ridiculous. I wonder if Coinstar made a deal with them.
That's what I was thinking, because they said you should go take it to Coinstar, at which point I said, well, I don't want to lose 30% for my money.
Yeah, I think it's like 18% now. And here's the weird thing. They made a deal with PayPal. Mm-hmm. So if you go to a Coinstar machine, put your change in and then like funnel it directly to your PayPal account. Yeah. They'll take off less of a percentage.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Coinstar is owned by PayPal now.
Probably. Who knows? Yeah. It was still, really annoying. Yeah,
that's messed up that they won't take your money. And it's of course, I have money. Take my money.
I know. It's ridiculous. I went online and ranted about it, of course. And what I've learned since then, and I also Googled. So there's a link in the show notes that you should check this out about, because he talks about how banks have been moving away from this and basically trying to screw us all. Some banks do accept it. Chase, in particular, a friend of mine told me that they will send you a bag free of charge. You can dump all your change into it. You can mail it to them and they will count it all for you. And within a month or two, it will be deposited.
A month or two?
Whatever. Who cares? At least they're taking it. Doesn't matter.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And apparently credit unions are much better about this, of course. So my next move banking wise is probably going to be going to a credit union, because I'm tired of getting screwed by the man.
You know what? I actually use First Entertainment Credit Union, which I think you can get into since you're in the entertainment industry.
Right.
They're fantastic. They have some of the best customer service in the world. And that way you're in the credit union system.
Yeah.
I've always had, like, I'm keeping a mailing address in California just so I can keep my credit union account. They're awesome. You can probably walk in there with a donkey and they'll give you market value for it. they're awesome. So,
well, you're going to test that out for us next week.
Yes, I will take my ass to the credit union.
In the news.
We have a total hero of the week.
hero.
Not a zero, a hero. Kurt Schilling, who does that sports ball thing that you don't know anything about, Jason. His daughter is off to a college, I believe, and she's following in his footsteps, and she's an athlete. And he tweeted something about her going off to this college and being whatever. And then all of a sudden he got trolled hardcore by a bunch of people, particularly young men that probably should be in jail, who said extremely rude things about his daughter. And he went after them, and he went after them in epic style. And I'm glad he did. And he's bringing some attention to this, and he is going to pursue with the full weight of the law to whatever he can to get after these guys. So good for him. Hero.
I read some of the things that people were saying about his daughter. Mm-hmm. In most states, you could probably kill them and get away with it.
Yeah, and I agree. This is ridiculous. We're raising a generation of people that think they can say whatever they want. You can't. You cannot. Just because you're typing it instead of saying it, you cannot do that.
No, not at all. And especially when there's things like fisting involved. It was disgusting.
And I hope these guys end up in jail.
And I mean, honestly, to disgust me takes a lot. And these guys were
true, people. For Jason to actually be disturbed by this, it's got to be pretty messed up.
Yeah. And it was.
Yeah.
Now, Google, apparently they're going to start ranking things on facts. What is this? What is this sorcery that you speak of?
It does seem to be sorcery. And I believe that this is really kind of coming out of everything that we've been dealing with, like the truthers and the anti-vaccine movements and all of that. There is a push amongst the Google faithful and apparently within the company itself to start basing their rankings on facts instead of just links, meaning that, you know, if Jenny McCarthy's article about how vaccines cause autism just because it gets 10 gazillion links is not scientifically accurate, it shouldn't show up first in the rankings.
What?
I know.
I know. Oh, God.
This could change the internet as we know it.
Oh, my God. A Playboy model puts on clothes and people listen to her and they think it's truth. What is so weird?
Yes. Well, I'm 100% behind this. I hope that they do it. Dear Google, we like facts here on the Grumpy Old Geek podcast. Facts are important. In fact, we're good at facts, so we also happen to be available part-time.
Well, you know what Google should just buy Snopes at this point. They really should, because anytime my mother sends me an email, the first thing I do is run it through Snopes, because 99.999% of the time it's bullshit.
You know, you're kind of almost throwing that out as a joke, but that's actually a genius idea for them. They could buy out Snopes and then just have little Snopes ranking on returns on these things. That would be amazing.
Well, I mean, look at Facebook. They have they've got things now that say that this is parody or this is supposed to be funny when somebody posts an onion link. Yeah. And I think that they should have that in Google. You know, okay. It's marked as an advertisement. Also, mark it as bullshit. Yes. You know what? They can use the culturally appropriate poop emoji now on there. So, but the one thing they are doing also is that they are ranking sites by their mobile friendliness,
okay.
Which is actually really good because, you know, 65% of our traffic to our website comes from mobile devices. Yeah. That makes sense because people are listening to podcasts. When they click on the show notes link that comes with it, then they just go from their phone and they can look at all the beautifully archived links that we have every week. And for this week, you can go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/99 to get our show notes. Mm-hmm. But they're really starting to up the mobile ranking, which is great.
I like that for a number of reasons, one of them being what we do for a living. This might actually push some of our clients that have ancient websites to come into the 20th century when they start to see their rankings going down, because they are still running HTML4 or non-responsive design or, God forbid, Flash on their websites.
Yeah.
And they simply just won't pay to update them. And apparently Google is finally realizing that Google Plus was a complete and utter waste of time.
I know. This makes me sad, though, because I really wanted that one to work.
I got to tell you, I think I mentioned this last week. I can't even remember what I say anymore. Maybe I should listen to the show, Jason.
Oh, good. Maybe.
I've got to say, I've been forced to post on Google Plus and use it for a client, and it is slick. It is the nicest interface of any of the social media, and if only people were there.
I'm telling you, that's the crazy part. I love Google Plus.
Yeah.
I go there. I hang out with podcasters, photographers. I talk about stuff. And the people there just tend to, you know, they write more. And I mean, I've got, here's the deal. I've got like 680 followers, I think, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, I'm bipolar, so I killed my account a long time ago. I used to have 10,000, but I do have 11,000 followers on Google Plus.
Right.
And so there's a bigger pool for me to talk to there.
Yeah.
And I like it. I mean, it is pretty. It's extremely pretty. And it's fast.
It's pretty. Super fast. It's fast. The UI is probably the best of any social network in terms of getting your posts out there. Again, the problem is with the page that I'm running for a client, no traction whatsoever. And I had my own personal Google Plus page from when they first launched, and I still get notifications, but people start to follow me, but they are obviously spam accounts. So the only, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but it's hello, there's nothing there. It's you're farting into the wind when you post.
Yeah. Here's the thing though. I get more clicks, you know, as we were talking about how Twitter's useless. Mm-hmm. I get more clicks from Google Plus than I do from Twitter. So I am still actually getting traffic from Google Plus.
Right. Well, unfortunately, it is going to go away. And I guess they're going to split it into two different things. One, a kind of more, I can't even remember what they were going to do because they both sounded ridiculous and stupid. Google Photos, which will just be for photos, and Google Streams, which will be their new update here, Twittery type thing.
Yeah, that does, I don't know. Horrible. It's not going to work. I mean, no. It's not going to work.
Look, everybody out there, unless you come up with something significantly and completely different, the market is full for social media.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, it comes back to what we were talking about, you know, ages ago.
Game changers.
We need a game changer. We need something that is, you know, just a complete shift.
Yep.
And sadly, it's probably going to end up being Oculus and Facebook.
Oculus.
I know.
I don't want a 3D world. I really don't.
I do because I live in a 3D world. Well, which I'm in right now. You know,
I don't want a virtual one. Oh, anyways, man. Google is making another big move, and this one I'm actually very excited about. They're getting into wireless. They are going to go after Verizon and AT&T and Sprint.
See, this one, I've heard a little bit about this. It doesn't make mm-hmm. sense because Android is the biggest operating system in the world
mm-hmm.
for mobile phones, and mm-hmm. they need those companies to actually sell their phones. So mm-hmm. them going into the mobile market makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either, but there's a really nice article that I found. It's in our show notes, as Jason has mentioned, that is basically, and he's right about this, he's arguing that the main providers are screwing us in terms of finances. We are being way overcharged for the services that we're going to get. And that's what Google and a few other smaller companies are trying to combat right now. And I say all for it because my cell phone bills are ridiculous.
No, my cell phone bill is more than a car payment.
Yeah.
That's honestly, it's more than my car payment. Well, mm-hmm. granted, I don't have a car payment because I paid off my car. But when I had a car payment, my AT&T bill now surpasses my car payment.
Yeah. So they're going to try to do that. Unfortunately, the way they're going about it is they're going to be bypassing basically they're going the Wi-Fi route. So it's going to be Skype type calls on your phones, et cetera.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's the problem there. I mean, my cell coverage is bad enough, much less Wi-Fi. I mean, you know, the struggles that we have with our Skype calls every week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
I don't know. We'll see what they do. I mean, yeah. they're smart people. We'll see what comes out of it. But I'm not really. And it's still on Android. There's your problem right there.
Yeah,
I don't care. I don't care what they're going to do with the cell phone. You're still on Android, which is utterly insecure and just ugly.
Any challenge to try to bring down the cost. That's all I care about.
Yeah. When I can run my iOS device, you know, over a cell tower through Google, I'll pay attention.
Okay.
Now, you put in a story. I've heard this around the internets this week. Apparently, since we're old, mm-hmm. we cannot get laid on Tinder anymore without paying the pimp cost.
Right.
We have to pay them to pimp us out.
This apparently seems to be the case. This is one of those things that I have no qualifications to talk about whatsoever, because unfortunately, I was married before Tinder ever came out. So I know nothing about the service, but I do know that they've decided that if you're over 30, you are ancient and have to pay an extra fee to get their plus service, whatever the hell that does.
Well, here's the thing. I think they what they came up with was the ability to pay model.
Yeah.
You know, okay, if you're older, obviously you're making more money. They've obviously never listened to this show, much like you, and they don't realize that older people are broke because the market sucks and everything is terrible. Yes. So now we get raped to get raped.
Yeah.
That didn't really work out.
No, I totally
send your emails to Brian at grumpyoldgeeks.com.
Yeah, I'm the one that did the rape comments. Sure. No, I get where they're coming with this. It's a weird tiered paid model in which, you know, the kids can't afford it, so we're going to charge them less. But you older people that want to get in on the action, we're going to charge you more. It's ageism, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
No, you're for once you're right.
Oh, thanks. Obviously, you don't listen to the show because I know I'm right a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. Keep believing that. You know who was wrong, though?
David Petraeus. Sorry. We've been so busy trying to set up our Patreon page. I can't say Petraeus without going Patreon.
Yeah. So the former CIA director who, you know, honestly, if the CIA director cannot be trusted with classified documents, how the hell can we think about the rest of the rank and file and believe that they have our best interest in heart?
He basically took,
you know, binders, not binders of women. That was the Republicans. But he took binders of classified documents and kept them even after he left the CIA. Right. So, you know, most people would be in Gitmo right now. But guess what he gets?
Nothing.
$40,000 fine and a slap on the wrist with 2 years probation.
Yeah, it's good to be the king.
It's ridiculous. I'm so angered by this that I just can't. I got nothing else. I'm like, what the hell? What? We got no recourse with these people. They're taking everything. They're doing what they want, and they get no, you know, nothing. You can do anything, and they're just not going to get fined or.
Well, they got fined.
$40,000. Come on. That's less than his, you know, his book deal.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
So let's talk about Fab.
Oh, yeah. Remember, I think I pimped that like a year and a half ago when I first found it and it was all awesome. And I was like, this is kind of cool. And they have neat stuff.
And I said, what the hell is their business model? Because all they're doing is curating stuff. And apparently they're done.
Yeah,
I was right. They're done.
But they made an awful lot of money first, but then lost it all. But
well, they raised a lot of money. They didn't make a lot. If they were making money, then they would still be in business. But now they're dead.
Yes, they are gone. And he's off to start off another thing that's about the same thing. This Goldberg guy's got the magic touch, apparently.
Well, you know, there's a skill set to raising money. And that's if you have that skill set to raise money.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can make money.
Yeah, I agree. And he's got that skill set. That's for sure. So good luck on him. He's just off to go do his next thing and take a bunch of people's money and have another failed company.
Yep.
Speaking of that, Etsy. Etsy is doing their IPO. And if you we're not big on stock tips here, but I would not personally purchase this ever.
Oh, God, no.
So it's another case of they are able to raise a lot of money, but they cannot make any. Etsy, which values itself at about $1.7 billion for selling God knows what, has yet to turn a profit. In 2014, they recorded a net loss of over $15.2 million. And I'm supposed to buy your stock?
Okay, new rule. I'm gonna pull the new rule card. Okay. If your company is not profitable, you should not be allowed to IPO.
Or let's do an entire another secondary market. They cannot be in NASDAQ. They cannot be in these exchanges. We have to make a new one called the bullshit exchange.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where all these tech stocks can go that don't even make a dime yet somehow value themselves worth billions of dollars.
Billions.
It's ridiculous.
It is such bullshit. Yes, we'll call it the vaporware exchange.
That's nice. I like that.
Now, people who do make money. Like I was mentioning before on Snapchat.
I don't understand that.
Strippers are selling their boobies on Snapchat and they're making a good living at it.
Okay. Well,
I follow what's her name? Sovereign Sire on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. She's a porn star and I think she does a little bit of this and a couple other girls do this stuff. She, you know, makes money at it. And you know, if you put a camera and commerce together, what you're going to get is people selling pictures of their stuff. That's what's going to happen, period. Yeah. That's why the internet was built on porn. So the fact that this is a New York Times article, I find kind of funny. And the problem with it is it's now Snapchat's going to like try and, you know, crack down on it, which is silly. I mean, let people make a few bucks.
Yeah, and this is how Snapchat started anyways. It was, you know, kids sending pictures of their junk to each other. What's the big deal?
No, I mean, yeah.
I guess they're just pissed that they're not in the monetization aspect of it, but then they should add that themselves.
No, they are.
Oh, okay.
You can send payments on Snapchat.
Oh, I had no idea. Again, much like Tinder, I don't have Snapchat either.
Okay,
so
yes.
I don't know.
No, that's the whole point. The fact that you can send somebody a couple bucks and they will wiggle their tackle at you.
All right, then Snapchat, what the hell are you bitching about? Because you, much like Etsy and Fab, are one of those companies that has yet to turn a fucking profit. Now here's a way for you to make some money.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what we need is people to be honest about this. Let's have, you know, a service where you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And be open about it. The big problem, I think, is the, you know, the app store providers. You look at Apple. Apple's like, we'll never do porn, you know, thanks to Steve Jobs's, you know, decree when the app store came out. No, endorse it, you know, embrace it.
Yeah,
let's just be honest, because people are going to do this shit anyway. And all they have to do is get around your stupid constraints. So just let people be people. For fuck's sake.
Yeah, as far as I know, Instagram is full of this stuff, too. And what, who cares?
No, there are no nipples on Instagram.
Well, except for Chelsea Handler's.
She doesn't show her nipples. She shows her boobs. There's lots of side boob.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a good-looking lady, too. I give her that. I think she's a no-talent ass clown. But as they say on Kevin Smith's podcast. But yeah, I'm not a fan of hers. But yes, I'm a fan of her boobs. So okay. keep it up, Chelsea.
All right.
And speaking of, if you love something, set them free. Unreal has released its engine. The Unreal Engine version 4 is now free.
Yeah.
You can use it. And if you make something with it, then you pay a licensing fee.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's a good model. Let people use it to play around with it, train it, figure out if they like making games or not, make a few failed things. And then once they start to make money, then you send your IP lawyers after them.
Well, no, they just sign up for a license. I mean, Quake did this a long time ago. Quake released their engine many, many years ago, and it was just open source. And the Unreal Engine, you know, arguably, I don't care for the physics in the Unreal Engine, but it's a much prettier than the Quake engine. But still, it's like in this market, if you want to make a game now, like we were talking about retirement, you can. You can use something that is so technologically advanced as a 3D world-building engine from your house in your underwear and build something from scratch.
Right.
It's like there's no excuse for people that say I can't make a living on the internet, you know. Honestly. I love this. I love the fact that they let you play with it and just take it and run with it.
No, I like that too. It's a good model.
Now, let's talk about poop.
Okay.
Portland has installed turbines in their city water pipes. So you get juice by flushing.
This is great.
I love this. Everybody should have this.
I agree.
Yeah, poop for power. Poop for power.
Wow, think of just the amount they get from San Francisco alone.
Oh, well, they are dirty hippies and they don't shower that much.
No, it's a great idea. All this kind of stuff needs to start happening everywhere. So many untapped resources all the time. A little bit of infrastructure, and some foresight and some technology, and we could be living in such a better world.
Well, I mean, we're looking at stuff that, you know, it's just untapped energy that's always going, you know. I mean, that water is flowing no matter what.
Yeah,
so why not put a turbine in there? Because it's not going to increase the amount of workflow for that pipe.
Yeah,
so it makes sense.
The shit will literally hit the fan, but not in a bad way.
No, the shit will definitely hit the good fan. Now, I hate ad agencies. I've worked for many of them. But this week in Ad Week, there's an article about the Bruised Woman billboard. Have you seen this one?
I did not see it until this morning. You put it in the show notes, and then I looked at Facebook, and it is starting to viralize.
So the point is, you know, battered women generally just it goes under the radar. Most people just kind of turn their heads. So what they did was they made a billboard, and they used cameras and facial recognition to you know, basically gauge how many people were staring at this billboard. And as they're staring at it, she heals. You know, she starts off beaten up and then she heals up to just to bring awareness to the, you know, the domestic violence topic. And I thought this was an ad agency actually being super smart about using technology. And I think this is genius. I give them so much credit for this.
No, it's, you know, first case time that somebody has done something like this. So it's pretty awesome. The tech aspect of it is great. You know, I do worry about the precedent of billboards tracking my eyeballs, but there's no stopping that either. So,
yeah, that's going to happen no matter what. We're screwed on that part.
But the fact that it was done well.
Yeah, they use it for a good cause. And definitely check out this article in our show notes at grumpyoldgeeks.com/99.
Security?
Ha! Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. She's been in the news quite a bit this week.
Shocking. She is going to be running for president.
Well, this might be a little ding on her reputation because she used her own private email service to basically do all of her emails while she was Secretary of State.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
That is bad. That is extraordinarily bad.
The news hit yesterday, I believe. And, you know, I was watching every news channel had all the shots of her because she was famous for like holding her BlackBerry. It was always in her hand. She was always like stretched out with it. And I was like, huh, OK.
Yeah, actually, it came out on the 2nd. That was when the story actually broke.
OK.
So it's been out for a couple of days. But this is not good. She's getting subpoenaed for the Benghazi emails. Uh-huh. And they're not on a government server.
Yeah,
which they should be.
I don't know how that decision was made. Somebody on her team probably thought this was a good idea. Oopsies, not good.
No, it's not very good at all. And the thing is, she's not going to get, you know, prosecuted for it, obviously, because there's no. What are they going to do? It's like the archivists. Yeah, the archivists are not really, you know, a governing body when it comes to that kind of shit.
No, I mean, it's a bad oopsie, and this needs to be publicized so other government officials don't try to do the same stuff. But subpoena it, get the records, take it out. I mean, we all know that the NSA has read all these emails anyways.
Yeah, honestly, remember long ago when I said if the NSA was like the archivist for everything that we do online, you know, mm-hmm. if they were the museum of the internet, we wouldn't be so upset about it. If they were like archive.org, then everything would be great. But no, they're a spy agency. But anyway,
oopsies. So yesterday, since this didn't happen yesterday, but a couple things did. In addition to Han Solo crashing about it, basically in my backyard, we had news about lasers.
Frickin' lasers.
Lockheed Martin put out a story about a laser that they built that can basically shoot through a truck from over a mile away.
That is awesome.
This is terrifying. Lasers on drones.
Laser drones, yes. Definitely terrifying. That would have to be a big-ass drone, though.
Yeah, it would be. It's pretty, the laser itself is pretty large at this point, but, you know, technology moves forward. But we actually have real lasers now, which is kind of, you know, Star Wars-y, cool. Or Austin Powers sharks with freaking lasers.
Well, or real genius.
Yes.
I prefer real genius. Make popcorn from space. We will be doing that on Does It Have Legs at some point this year, for sure. There's actually a drone outside my window today.
What?
Like, yeah. Not like looking in the window, but like I opened the window and I could hear a drone.
Oh, well,
like,
you're
out
here
in the valley. Yeah.
Well, remember last week we talked about that. There's that pilot program, haha, of the drones that are doing the localized advertising. You're in the zone, man.
That's right. I'm getting tracked by the story that we talked about. How cool.
Yes, you are.
Oh, I'm going to go get some spaghetti and shoot them down. So there's a lot of talk about the cops in the news. Mm-hmm. And Boing Boing has an article, a really good article, about being able to ask a cop for their information, their name, their badge number, for, you know, for identification purposes.
Yeah.
The deal like is that you,
script 101 in movies whenever you have a police officer. You can always do this in the movie.
And the problem is that most cops don't actually have to do that.
Yeah.
Which is so wrong. Yeah. I don't even it's so wrongy wrongenstein Mick wrong that I don't even know what to say about it, because if I can't ask a cop what their badge number is, how the fuck do I know they're a cop? Honestly, how do I know you're a cop if you won't tell me your badge number?
That's very true.
I need to be able to look you up, you know.
I was a little surprised by this. I thought that this was kind of one of our unalienable rights and everybody was required to do it if need be, but apparently not.
No, I mean, I want to go on to Yelp for cops and look up your badge number and see if you're a good cop or a bad cop. But what I mainly want to know is if you're a cop.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, a lot of these guys are just like, look at Ferguson. They were putting, you know, electrical tape over their badge numbers when they were out there. And Ferguson is in the news big time this week. We're not going to get into the Ferguson stuff. Just go Google it if you really want to know. It's bad. They were bad people before everything happened. And it's just coming out now how bad they were. I'm going to put a note in the show notes on a video called Don't Talk to Cops.
Okay.
Which is a cop who says, never talk to us ever, which is one of the greatest videos of all time. They're like, do not speak to us because our job is to convict you, even if you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, it is their job.
Yeah. And nowadays it's just, well, fuck it, we'll just shoot you.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I saw the video of the homeless guy getting shot in L.A. and
I was horrified.
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. It was so terrible. Mm-hmm. It was so terrible.
There's been so many videos of this now. There was one 2 weeks ago, I think, that was in Arizona, unarmed guy just running down the street and the cops just unloaded on him. What the fuck is going on, people?
I know. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. So if you see a cop, don't run because they will shoot you.
Yeah.
And just hide. I mean, that's the thing. You can't run.
If a cop talks to you, just fucking lay down on the ground, arms outstretched, and don't move.
Well, unfortunately, I saw a video of a guy that did just that in San Francisco and was shot and killed.
All right, never mind. Get your own personal drone that has a laser on it to protect yourself at all times.
You know what you can do, though? I remember this. You can go to Walmart and buy a bulletproof vest. I was actually at the Walmart here in the Valley like 2 years ago, and they were selling Kevlar vests.
That's insane.
I know. What are we gonna do?
what a world.
Oh God. So Uber got hacked this week. 50,000 accounts were affected.
It wasn't this week though. The news was just coming out.
Oh
right?
No, you know what,
this was, they were hacked like almost a year ago now.
Yeah,
but now
yeah.
They're just finally talking about it.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of an oopsies.
Well, this comes back to, you know, Obama saying, well, we need better, you know, disclosure laws.
Well, I mean, do we think Uber is going to be forthright about anything?
No. Okay. They're Uber. For fuck's sake, they're Uber. Yeah. They don't care. The fact that the only reason that this came out is because now they're subpoenaing GitHub to get, you know, accounts that are like listing the hack database. So they had to come out with it because now GitHub was going to come out with it. It's a mess. It is a total mess. And it's only 50,000 accounts. And that's the funny thing. Now I can just say it's only 50,000 accounts because we're used to these things being in the millions.
That's very true.
You know, it's like, how screwed up is that?
Now, what information do you think they have in the driver database? And I mean, obviously it would have their personal information, address, phone, all that sort of thing. But, I don't think that they would have social security numbers or anything like that.
Oh, I bet they would for payment. You need a social for payment.
Good point.
Yeah, address and social.
Isn't like 101 separating that sort of information? You'd have a general account and then you'd have cross-referenced accounts to another database that had that kind of information in it.
Well, you know, the R in the RDBMS is relational. So yes, it should have been in a related database, but it also should have been encrypted.
Yes, it should.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really easy to encrypt your database info. And and how many of us do that? None.
Not very many.
None.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a really good password hash type of system that I use, but for general information, almost nobody encrypts that shit.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, Facebook employees can access your account without password was the big news on the Hacker News this week. And anybody who thought that this was a thing needs to really kind of get a clue. I don't know why this was making the rounds because
I'm not even sure why it's news.
It's not news. It's so not news, but I want people to understand why it's not news.
That's because standard operating procedure.
Yes. If I run a website and I am taking your information, I can look at it anytime I want, no matter what. Yep. And I mean, I can use it for, you know, customer support issues. I can use it for data quality issues. No matter what, I can look at anything that you type in to my system.
We can't really build our systems without the ability to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. So now there's another article about why Facebook, they came back and explained who can do what. But here's the deal. if you put it into a form on the web, we can read it.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And there are no laws. There are no rules whatsoever to protect that. If you give it to us, you just gave it to us. You know, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do not expect that anybody can not read it, you know, period. I don't know what the hell was going on.
I don't know why this was news.
It's because people are silly. They think that, you know, I don't know. They don't pay for the service. You know, it's nothing. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yeah.
So, and there's a new patent out, which is pretty cool. That comes from Google, detecting trends from images uploaded to a social network.
I love this. Smart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very smart. And this comes from Fresh Patents. I didn't know patents were fresh.
Me either.
But a system and method is disclosed for detecting marketable subjects within digital images uploaded to the social network. Now, I want you to think about that sentence for a second.
Mm-hmm.
A system and method is disclosed for detecting marketable subjects.
It's a meme catcher and generator.
Yep. If you take a picture of somebody in front of a Starbucks and they can do facial recognition on that, then they will send that person a coupon for Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's nuts.
Yeah.
The fucking technology is nuts.
Yeah. This is where we're headed, people.
Yeah. Get used to it. And they will be able to look at your account whenever they want.
Yes.
Comment of the week.
Big thanks to Lawrence W. Lee, who is the Bandwidth Sponsor of the Month. You can check him out at lawrenceleeart.com. He says, great episodes, guys. The article on AI was terrific, and many of the other links you provided in your show notes also proved interesting and or helpful. I appreciate the hard work you put into this. I'm a faithful listener, and I'm going to make another contribution right now. And he did. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. And this is the second time, I believe, Lawrence has contributed. So thank you. And definitely check out his art. He's got some really cool, Native American art on his on his website.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that very much. Also, Mike Davis from Charlotte, North Carolina, writes, this show fucking rocks more than llamas running around loose in blue and black heaven. Seriously, though, I hope there will be a shift in the tech industry for the older guys. Experience is greater than education or cheap labor. Unfortunately, this trend is bigger than just the tech industry, as it has been hitting other areas just as hard. Big fan of the show, guys. Thanks for all you do. Well, thank you, Mike. And I'm glad to see we got some North Carolinians in here.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I think we discussed that very point earlier on in the show about that. But, you know, Jason feels that we can just do whatever we want on the internet and still make money. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, I think that fans of the show will know that we can hack the system. You know, honestly, we can hack it and figure out ways to get around it. And tell your friends and get them on board as well. We appreciate that.
Yes, we appreciate that. And, you know, we're getting a lot of comments this week, which is awesome.
We got a ton of comments.
So happy that you guys are out there and playing along with us. So this is from Joe Saggio, I believe. Live long and prosper. Hi, fellas. I, too, was saddened by the passing of Leonard. I'm only a fan of the original series when it comes to, I assume, Star Trek, and Leonard, of course, was great. I want to send a big props out to you for your podcast. I, too, am a grumpy old electrical engineer, graduated from Ohio State in 1988. Wow, that's, you know, he said old, and I was like, yeah, this guy's going to be old, but I ain't that old, man.
No, you ain't that old. I mean, I graduated from high school in 89, so you're like 3 years older than me.
Yeah. Okay, so your podcast is innovative, informative, and fun. Your viewpoints are well-developed and informed, and I appreciate staying on the pulse by listening to your updates, reviews, and commentaries. He totally must be listening to a different show. keep up the good work. Struggle is the mother of invention. By the way, my smileys and emoticons are of Caucasian, Italian, American, racial origin, in case you could not tell from the black and white text.
As a Caucasian Italian American, I totally got that. I appreciate that.
Just a little Luigi Mario mustache on it.
All right. Hey, watch it there. So, we appreciate that, man. Seriously. And yeah, we do. I really missed Leonard this week. I mean, I saw all of the cute images going around, but still, it's like, it's a tough one. It really was a tough one to lose.
Yeah, one of the channels, I think it was, is this still called Spike? I don't even know what channel it was, but they were running basically the best of Leonard Nimoy episodes. So they did like Star Trek VI, and then they did all the Next Generation episodes that he was on. And I just, you know, collapsed on the couch and watched them all. It was great.
Oh, man, I missed that. That would have been great. Mm-hmm. And still, when he knocks that kid out on the bus in San Francisco, is still the best scene.
Yeah.
Okay. So Shane Simmons, mm-hmm. He sent us a very long comment. So yeah. I cut it down a bit. So we do have a TLDR version in here. But basically, I did want to read it because I thought it was interesting because it kind of comes back to a lot of the stuff we talk about. Okay. Especially around the Priuses. and he calls us out at the end of this for being conservative. And I'm like, no, my friend, no. So, okay, I'm going to read this now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I won't weigh in on the Prius thing, but after listening to the rant about Priuses and pickups, I have to share. I'll readily admit I live in a rural area, which means I'm insulated from SoCal Prius douchebaggery. But I think I can add to the debate and say, in my humble opinion, pickup truck drivers are bigger douchebags than Prius drivers. Okay, right there. That's good. I'm with you so far.
I think we might be heading towards a urban/rural schism here.
Well, I definitely. I mean, because my pickup truck douchebaggery comes from living in Texas.
Right.
And that is where I learned that the fact that a person can be very nice before they get into a vehicle means the vehicle is at fault, not the person, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to continue. So by living in rural downstate Illinois, hey, Illinois man, I'm good. I'm ahead of the curve and on the whole getting paid less for doing more thing. When gas prices went up, I decided it was time to get a new car. After crunching some numbers, we like stats. I figured out that, yeah, I really could save money on a hybrid. Test drove a Prius, hated it. Good man. I test drove a second gen Honda Insight next and liked it well enough to buy one. But it looks a hell of a lot like a Prius. And it does. I'll give you that. We'll have a link in the show notes for that. It looks pretty Prius-y.
Yeah.
By being downstate, we're more mid-south than north. Y'all worried me when you started ranting about the Prius because where I am, some folks really do buy into that whole smug Prius driver and the whole only liberals drive hybrids and liberals hate America bullcrap. I love how he spelled it out too.
America, because America.
Well, he spelled liberals, LIBRULS. So good. It totally lost me because it's so fun to read. Even the a Hummer H2 has a lower environmental footprint than a Prius bullshit story. Yeah, so I live in a bubble where hybrids are somewhat rare. We have to spend all our money on gas because freedom.
I think we have our show title, Jason, because freedom.
Because yeah. Freedom, yes. So unless you guys are planning on becoming regulars on conservative talk radio, maybe tone it down a little on the Prius burning, please. I promise not all of us are massive douche canoes. I wanted the last episode to be called douche canoes, but yeah, I love douche canoes. So TLDR, I bought a car so that I'd stop spending so much on gas, and it brings out the douchebaggery in conservatives.
Well, first off, no conservative talk radio station would ever take us ever because we are so far from conservative. It's ridiculous.
Well, no talk radio station would take us no matter what. But
yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Anyway, I appreciate the comments because, you know, it's nice to see other sides of the argument.
Yeah.
But the real problem is when we talk about our interactions with Prius drivers, that's just based on, you know, empirical evidence that everybody that drives a Prius around us turns out to be a dick.
Look, you know? Again, I went on a walk this morning before the recording of the show, and as I was coming back and I was walking across a crosswalk that has a stop sign, a Prius almost ran me over. They did not stop. I would love to have, not a Prius, just because I don't like the way that they look, but I want an electric car at some point. The infrastructure around here isn't great, which is amazing because so many people have them here. It just doesn't work for me and my lifestyle, and I barely drive anyway, so it's no big deal. I totally get it. I love the idea. I think all cars should be moving this way. And of course, the Hummer thing, having a smaller footprint. Yeah, you hear that a lot, particularly from very conservative folks.
And it was a bullshit article. I mean,
it was a bullshit article. All I'm saying is the reality, and this is well known in my particular part of the world, the people that drive Priuses have their heads up their asses. They just do. So
I think the problem, though, is what we're dealing with are Southern California drivers for mm-hmm. you who are generally assholes. Well, anybody in a car, yes, in Los Angeles is an asshole. So this is, you know, we're looking at this through a very tight lens.
Yeah. And you double down when you get into a Prius here. It just happens. You become the whole food totem. And by the way, I can expand this. It isn't just the Prius that drives me insane in this area. It's also the Escalades, the soccer mom driving in a gigantic Escalade by herself, because at some point she will have a couple kids in there. They're just as bad.
Well, you know, that goes back to the pickup thing. I mean, yeah, that honestly, it's like the person becomes the vehicle, mm-hmm, at some point. I mean, the person I'm staying with right now, she has a Hummer H3. What? And she becomes the vehicle when she gets in. She's an asshole. She wants, right, to run everybody off the road. She's like, I will kill you with my car. I'm like, no, you roll over in this car, you're dead. You're, yeah, you know, but and honestly, when it comes to the Prius, I just hate how they drive. I rented one time, and it was one of the worst driving experiences of my life. And, yeah, and you know what? It doesn't come down to the electric thing, because when was the last time you said somebody driving a Tesla was an asshole, besides, yeah, being a privileged, you know, asshole?
Yeah, but they definitely have a lot of extra money. But I you know, here in Santa Monica, you see Teslas on the road all the time. I've never had a problem. I've never been almost run over by a Tesla. I've never had that happen. But a Prius is basically once a week, I will almost get hit or run over when walking by one.
Yeah. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. I mean, yeah, you live in Southern Illinois, which is a tough place to have a hybrid. Honestly, I don't think we're going to solve that problem. And I mean, I spent a lot of time down there, and you're just kind of screwed. Yeah. Honestly, we're not hating on you as a person for having a hybrid. I think hybrids are great. And yep, you're just kind of fucked. seriously, I mean, Southern Illinois is, you know, it's rural. It's totally rural. I grew up, I mean, half my life was spent in places like that. And that's where I came up with the fact that pickup truck drivers are giant assholes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much experience with that, other than when I see a pickup truck that's got the ball sack hanging off the back, I know that's probably going to be a bad driver.
Oh, truck nuts.
Yep.
The sad thing about truck nuts is there's some guy right now like Scrooge McDucking in his giant vat of gold because he invented truck nuts.
I know.
That's how you know that there is no God.
At the library.
So I was going to talk about Data and Goliath this week, but I haven't finished it. I've only read the introduction, and the introduction got me so spooked that I couldn't really keep going. I will finish reading it by next week. But what I did finish this week was Lock In by John Scalzi. Mm-hmm. Amazing book. So good. I think this was up for a Hugo this year, but it was one of my favorite books by far this year. And now I know you hate it when I say I listen to the audiobook.
Well, no, I don't hate it. I just, you're not actually reading.
It's going into my brain. The words are now in my brain. Okay. Mm-hmm. This book was read by Will Wheaton.
Okay.
Now, the thing about audiobooks read by Will Wheaton, up until this particular book, you can hear Will Wheaton in the book. He right. does his shtick. You know, I listened to Ready Player One, and that was read by him, and it was very Will Wheaton-y. This book is the first time where he's turned a corner and become a professional audiobook reader.
Okay.
I totally believed all the characters. And everything that he did in this book was just fantastic. I loved every second of it.
Okay.
And I totally forgot it was Will Wheaton. That's the point that I really wanted to make, was that, you know, he has really become a professional audiobook reader. And I watched this journey with Neil Gaiman, too, because when he started, he was kind of the same way. But now that Will has gotten on that bandwagon, I think he's phenomenal.
Okay. That's it.
I was waiting for you to go into your book.
Well, I thought you were going to say something about the actual book beyond just Will Wheaton, because this book has been popping up in my suggestions for a long time. So I'm quite interested in it.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. Like I said, there's actual reading. So talk about the book a little bit beyond just the reading of the book.
I'll talk about
the section's called fucking at the library, not at the fucking voiceover studio. Jesus.
The Actors Studio. No, okay. I was going to cut that, but I'm going to leave it in now.
Did you feel when Will Wheaton read the book?
Okay. So the book is about a group of people who get this like strange flu meningitis type of situation where they are locked in their body. They are perfectly alive. Their brain works, but they can't move.
Ooh.
And what happened was there was a giant government funding program to build brain interfaces for these people so they could live normal lives. So you get these things called threeps, which are like threepios, you know.
Cool.
You get it?
Got it.
So they can get out of their body and be in a robot. So it's a mental thing. And normal people can't generally do it because the disease is what caused the changes in the brain to allow them to have these brain implants.
Very cool.
There's like 4 million people in the world that can then become, you know, these walking robots.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is about a guy who he's like a privileged kid whose dad is like a senator and was an ex pro basketball player, I believe. And he went into service and became an FBI agent. So it's a murder mystery with robots and brain activity. It's crazy good.
Okay.
Oh, it is so right up your alley. I loved this book. And the upside for the audiobook version is when I finished the book, I'm like looking at it and it ended. I'm like, shit, I got 2 hours left. What's going on? They put on audible.com, they actually put in a prequel that talks about the rise of the disease. And it's read by a full cast, full cast, which really reminded me of World War Z.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
From the audio version, it's fantastic. I mean, I have no complaints whatsoever.
All right. Well, thank you for telling me a little bit about the book and then going back to the audio version stuff. So I went to go see The Church last Friday, which is one of my favorite bands from Australia. They've been around for ages. And while I was there, he had a copy of his own book. Steve Kilby, the lead singer-songwriter for The Church, wrote basically a memoir, and he had it there. I did not pick up the physical version because I don't remember why, but I did go home and try to find it immediately. And this is an interesting side note. I had to get it actually off the iTunes store. Amazon does not have it either in physical or ebook form.
That's really weird.
Well, here's the thing. It was the same with the Morrissey book, and it's also the same with the Wonder Stuff. Miles Hunt has a book out.
The Wonder Stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to read his memoir. And it's just an odd thing that Amazon doesn't seem to carry these musicians' books, but they're all on the iTunes store. Strange.
Are they on Hachette? I mean, I know that they kind of came through and figured out their differences, but I wonder if there's a common publisher involved.
It could be. I'm not entirely sure about that. I'll have to look into it a little bit more, but I have just noticed that, you know, if I want to read any musician's memoir, I'm off to the iTunes store.
Interesting.
Anyway, so he wrote this book. It's a memoir. It is absolutely fantastic. I've always really liked him. He's always been a big kind of crazy mess. The Church started off as like these kind of, you know, mysterious folks. And Steve Kilby's always been kind of vaguely into mythology and magic and all this other sort of stuff, particularly if you get into any of his solo work, which is just all over the place. It's even crazier than the Church's stuff. So he wrote this really great book about how he grew up. He basically became a rock star. And as so many different stories in the music industry, how the Church has always snatched defeat from the jaws of victory and screwed up their chances about everything. It's an amazing look at the reality of the music industry and just how horrible it is all the time, even when there was tons of money floating around, even when there was success around. And of course, there's also a lot about heroin. So,
snatching defeat from the jaws of victory sounds like our careers.
Yeah, well,
it really does.
It's many people's careers, and it's many people's, particularly in the music industry, good friends of mine. It's just, you just look around and you go, how did you manage to mess that up? But it's only in hindsight that you realize that you totally screwed this up.
Yeah.
and kind of a related thing, I found the YouTube video again. I've watched this a few times. It's Steve Kilby's acceptance speech while getting inducted into the Australian Music Hall of Fame, or the ARIAs. Every time I watch it, it brings me just massive amounts of joy because you see his love of music comes through and why he does what he does, even with diminishing returns, even with all the horrible things that have happened to him in his life, being in that industry. It is just pure joy personified. And if you are at all involved in the music industry and get down about it, you need to watch this video.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I do want to say that Neal Stephenson, one of our favorite authors, has a new novel coming out.
I am looking forward to this.
It's called Seven Eves. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you pronounce it. So, well, I mean, you look at ReamD. It's kind of hard nowadays. You don't. I was like, why? Why do you have to do that? Yeah. Anyway, this is a. Let me just read it from the Amazon listing. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What would happen if the world were ending? A catastrophic event renders the Earth a ticking time bomb. In a feverish race, elven race, whatever, against the inevitable, nations around the globe band together to devise an ambitious plan to ensure the survival of humanity far beyond our atmosphere in outer space.
So, all right.
I'm in.
It's not a story that hasn't been done before, but it is Neal Stephenson writing it this time. So
yeah,
it's going to be a good read.
Yeah, that's the thing. He could just poop on a page and I'd read it. So,
well, he did with that gigantic series that I
loved that series. I read the whole damn thing.
I hated it.
I know more about fake history now than I ever wanted to. I mean, even if you look at Cryptonomicon, you know, I love that book because it taught me about, you know, Bletchley Park and all that stuff before it got to be a thing. So I loved his old books. I know that they were long and drawn out. And
let's just say if there was some turbines on the poop system on those books, we would be powering the entire planet.
Turbines on the poop Stevenson. Poop, yep. Stevenson, there's a shit title.
Software, apps, and gadgets.
Now, Brian, I didn't know that it was hard to order a pizza, but apparently the douchebags in San Francisco have found a better way to order pizza by making an app.
I don't think it's a better way to order a pizza, and ordering a pizza is not difficult. In fact, there's even an app on my goddamn TV to order a pizza.
So TV for pizza. So this is Push for Pizza. It is really, I love your comment. Like, this should really be an Are You Fucking Kidding Me?
Yeah.
What they do is you set it up once and you set up your local, you know, your preferences and your local delivery place. And then you just press a button and it will send it out. I do not know how they will ever make money. This is a flash in the pan. And if you see this on any news media outlet, run.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we're covering it is,
I don't even know how you found it. Although I do have to say, I urge everybody that's listening right now to go to our show notes and click on the link. Watch their video of the genesis of their great idea. The only thing that is missing that I don't think is realistic about this video is there should be 18 gigantic bongs around that their office space.
Oh my God. Yes.
Because if you threw in the bongs, then this video would be realistic.
I mean, the video actually comes off like it's a promo for the next season of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You know,
it really does.
Oh my God. It's so terrible. And we also have a wearable that will now predict when you poop. This one also comes from Jordan Cooper's podcast. He does poop related news. So I apparently picked this up from there. What's called the morning dump. What do you want?
Dude,
this is a device that pairs with your smartphone that will give you a heads up before you have to go heads down. I guess.
I think we've hit our limit on poop stories.
I don't know what this thing is. I mean, it's just, well, I mean, yeah. I'm done. I'm done with the app economy. I don't know.
No, it's ridiculous. Actually, the app economy. This was in the intro originally. I was going to talk about this, but then I ended up killing it. But let me mention it since we're talking about the app economy right now.
Okay, bring it.
I thought about this week as I was pooping and sitting and scrolling through my phone, and I was like, I have so many apps that I have not launched in probably since I downloaded them the first time. My phone is full of apps that I never ever use, and what the hell is going on with the update schedules on these things? Because I remember, you know, at first there would just be the occasional update, or if a new, if the new version of the iOS would come out, then everybody would have to do an update, and you'd have to do a bunch of updates. Now every fucking morning, 4 to 5. Of these apps that I never ever use is updating. What the hell is going on?
Security.
Yeah.
No, I just have auto update on. I never see an update.
I don't like to do that. I want to know what's happening.
Now, this last one, which is hands down, this is almost worse than the pizza one and the poop one.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter vets launch OneShot, an app for highlighting and tweeting screenshots of text.
What happened to copy and paste? That's pretty easy.
Text. Yes. So you take a picture of the text and then you highlight it, mm-hmm. and then you actually post that.
Okay. And do they have reverse? Like, can you transfer that back into text once you've seen the photo? Like if it's been shared to you, will it transfer it back into regular text that you can actually do something with?
Tis a JPEG. So no, or a GIF, not a GIF. It's a GIF. But anyway, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard of. It's literally, it's called One Shot, which is what it is. It's a one shot wonder. But no, why would you take a picture of the text? Why did you not just copy the important part into a tweet and link to it?
Or just use the built-in take a screenshot of your screen.
Yes.
And send that. I'm sorry. I don't get. I don't understand.
I do not understand. I don't know if I'm just, I'm older, I don't get it, or are these people just so fucking unbelievably stupid to think that they are going to ever make money with a screenshot app?
Well, like most things in the world, it's probably a combination of both.
Shoot me. Just shoot me. One shot. Please, one shot to the brain, and I'm done.
Media candy.
So I'm done with House of Cards. I finished it in, 24 hours.
Don't tell me. I've only watched one episode.
No, I'm not going to do a thing. So I moved on to The Fall.
Mm-hmm.
The Fall is, it's kind of like a standard British procedural, but with Gillian Anderson.
Yay.
With her British accent.
Okay.
If you didn't think she could get cuter from The X-Files, you were wrong. I'm sorry, but you were wrong. She is adorable in this, and she's a sex fiend. So all in all, I think The Fall so far is one of my favorite shows. I love it.
I might have to check this out. I've been hearing quite a lot about it, and I love me some Jillian. So
yeah, the second season just came out. I'm still working on the first, but mm-hmm. And it's really slow paced. It's good British crime. I was gonna say crime comedy, but it's not a comedy. It's, like I said, a procedural. But it's, if you liked Broadchurch, then you like this.
I found a podcast, Jason.
What? You don't listen to ours, but you listen to other people's?
Well, I'd listen to ours too if Neil deGrasse Tyson, Richard Dawkins, and Bill Nye were on it.
Yeah, I can't fault you for that one.
No, so this is really good. It's a Star Talk Live, which I'd not really heard of. I don't know if that's a regular thing or not, but we have
it
a
is,
link in the
yes,
show notes.
Yeah, Star Talk, okay. Star Talk is in our list of podcasts that I listen to all the time.
Well, I've listened to it once now, and it was fantastic.
You should go back because Neil deGrasse Tyson basically does this, Star Talk radio show, mm-hmm. and he always has a comedian as his counterpoint, and he changes comedians out. But this time, they do a live show like every month or so in Brooklyn. And this time, though, he brought on, Richard Dawkins. I'm sorry. You bring on Richard Dawkins, I'm going to listen because I love Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
Since we lost Chris Hitchens, I got to listen to me some. Some Dawkins.
Yeah, so this is a great three-way talk. Well, more than that, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Richard Dawkins, and Bill Nye, obviously bringing the science, and then three comedians as well: Eugene Mirman, Jim Gaffigan, who I love, and Maeve Higgins, who I'd never heard of, who was hysterical on this podcast.
I loved her on this. She had the best jokes.
Yeah, she was amazing, and she just made a fan. And this is just a fascinating discussion where they just talk about evolution, DNA, theories of origins of life, and then just having the comedians there is the stroke of genius because they keep it light. They force the scientists to like backtrack and go, now hold on a second, you're going up your own scientific ass, dumb it down.
Yep.
So it was absolutely fantastic. I cannot recommend listening to this enough.
I can't believe you haven't listened to Star Talk yet.
I can't believe I haven't either. So it has been added to my list of podcasts that I will look at every now and then and probably ignore.
No, you'll listen to this one. I mean, he does a really good show.
Right.
And, I know there are a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson haters out there, which I don't understand. But
me either.
I think his show is generally always good. And the fact that his co-host is always a comedian. He swaps them out, but there's a standard crew there and they're always funny.
Yeah. So it was very good. I also ran across a link, which ended up being from a podcast, and I posted this on my Facebook, and it is in our show notes. It's from the UK Business Insider, which is, the title is, "No One Could See the Color Blue Until Modern Times." I read this article straight through. My mind was immediately and 100% blown. I posted it up on my Facebook and on my Twitter, and friends, you know, one comment was, this may be the coolest thing the internet has ever taught me. And then I, you know, found out that this is basically from a Radiolab episode about colors. And I went back and listened to the whole Radiolab episode, which is also very good. But by far, this article is just about one segment from that podcast where basically these guys went back and realized that the color blue was never mentioned in ancient works. And not just Greek, but they went back and they studied all across the world, all different cultures. And we started to come up with this theory that basically people didn't see blue back then.
I know. I read this article when you sent it to me in the show notes, and I'm just like,
it is
what?
So fascinating.
My jaw was on the floor when I'm reading this. I'm like, wow. I mean, there really were no words for blue, and like they only saw red.
Yeah, and then they go to modern, like a modern culture, a tribe that has, you know, and it goes into the study of how language and our words for colors make us notice colors better, and how this tribe has different words for different greens, and they can distinguish all these different greens that we can't even see, but they can't see blue either. It's amazing.
No, it mind blown.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if the entire internet was just this one article, the internet would be worthwhile.
Okay.
It really is the most fascinating thing I've learned since I was basically back in school. This is unbelievable. You have to read it. If your mind isn't blown, we'll give you your money back.
Exactly. No, it was. I mean, honestly, I still have the Radiolab episode queued up. Because mm-hmm. I started listening to Radiolab after this episode came out, so I never heard it. But yeah, Now I want to go listen to it. But I got to say, the article is definitely amazing. Amazing.
The Radiolab episode is also really good. Particularly, they use a choir to almost do an oral version of what, say, a dog versus a human versus another animal I can't quite recall at the moment can see.
Is it a llama?
It's not a llama. And that bit was really fascinating too. But really, the upshot, you must read this article. It is fantastic.
Okay. I cannot recommend this enough because, yes, mind blown.
The web's not dead! Oh, no, it's not!
Brian, what was the number one song on the day you were born?
Unfortunately, it was a tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Oh, yuck. Mine's not much better. I got You've Got a Friend by James Taylor.
Ah, yeah.
The thing that I like was the song that was playing while I was conceived that was number one was I'll Be There.
I opted to not look that up. I didn't want to know.
I know. I'm kind of disturbed by that one. So yeah, the Jackson 5 was playing probably on the radio when my folks were getting it on.
Yeah, good times. Well, Playback FM, thank you for that. That's a little clever algorithm or a database they put together. So you can hit that up from our show notes, basically.
Yeah.
So you can find out what your parents were getting down to.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Now, if you're sitting in front of your computer right now, open up a browser and go to loser.com.
Seriously, just do it. We're not going to tell you what it is. But troll, you have to do it.
Troll for the win.
Troll for the motherfucking win.
It is the best thing ever.
Now, I put in one here that you don't agree with. It's an Etsy thing that they're pop art prayer candles.
Yes.
And I love them. And you don't like them because you think that
I do like them, but as somebody who works in the music industry or the entertainment industry in general, I cannot support unlicensed merchandise. I just can't.
What they're using, they're taking press photos mm-hmm. and then sainting them.
Yes.
You know,
they're very cool. And I would typically buy these things in a second. And certainly if these would have been around when I was in college, my room would have been full of Susie and the Banshee and Cure candles.
Yeah. And the Morrissey one's pretty fun, but I love the Danzig one too. The Danzig one is actually pretty funny. So she is doing, you know, art. She is creating a prayer candle from a press photo. So how can you say that that is not unlicensed when it is given out for press purposes? And then she actually adds on to it and creates value, you know, out of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, man.
It's all right. They're clever. They're very clever.
I'm just bummed the Gomez and Morticia Adams one is sold out, because I would buy that one in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah, those are really cool. It's amazing that Etsy isn't making any money with these kind of clever things going on.
I know. What's the deal? Maybe I'll buy their stock. That's how they'll make money.
Yeah, I don't think so. So you know how I feel about the whole viral video thing and the tugging at the heartstrings and all of that sort of stuff. But I must be feeling particularly sad or on my man period this week, because two of them got me pretty bad this week. It's like my room's a little dusty. I hate the titles and I hate the clickbaity stuff. The links are in our show notes. The title for the first one, it only takes 30 seconds to find out why people are falling in love with this video. Whatever, it's the skeleton video that's going around right now. You've probably already seen it. If you haven't, it's clever, it's well done. It's the same way as like that the use of the technology from Adweek that you were talking about earlier in the show. It's a well done video to get across a point that I don't really personally think needs to be getting across anymore, if you don't realize that it doesn't matter who you love, whatever. You're an idiot. Great video, though. They did a really good job with it.
Yeah, it did not make me weepy, but I understood it from the get-go. Okay, you see two skeletons making out, and it doesn't matter who's on top of that. We're all just people.
Yes. Poke lesbian couples, interracial couples, whatever. Yeah, poke away, people.
Yeah.
And then the other one, the heart-touching commercial, My Dad's Story, Dream for My Child, which is cleverly titled My Dad Lies. And this one almost had me on the floor.
I haven't seen this one yet because I was kind of so underwhelmed by the first one, because you were definitely on your man period and your mangina was weeping.
Yeah, I know. But this one actually really is. Oh, man, it's good, man. Watch it. I try to get through it without a little.
Okay, I'll check it out when we're done. Yeah.
I posted this one as well as my Facebook feed, and every single woman I am friends with on Facebook commented on it and talked about how they were in puddles of tears on the floor.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, well done, people. Well done.
Well done.
Closing shout outs.
Apparently, I like music again, because last week I went to see The Church, and tonight I'm going to see another show. Tonight it's Canadian Pixie electropop diva Lights. I actually quite like it, even though it's very poppy and very, I don't know, Tegan and Sarah-y, I guess, but even more poppy, and I like the album. Give it a listen if you like. I'm going to check her out live tonight, and hopefully she will be very good live.
Okay, cool. I can't fault you for going to go see shows.
No, it's actually been nice going out to see shows again. I kind of stepped away from it for a long time because of my inherent hatred of the music industry, but it's good to be back out there watching these people do what they do. So good stuff.
Yeah, I do like going to shows again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we talk about like how musicians need to make money by performing, and if nobody goes, then they don't make any money. But like, I'll go to a show and I'll buy a shirt, and I know that I will never ever wear that shirt.
Yeah.
It's just a way to give them money. If they just had a tip jar like on stage and I could walk up and give them $20 instead of having to take home a shirt that I'm never going to wear.
Right.
I think they should kind of go with that.
Or say a Patreon page, which Grumpy Old Geek's coming soon.
Yes. Grumpy Old Geek.
Get your wallets ready.
Yeah. Patreon.com/GOG. By the time you hear this, it will not be ready.
I was about to say, why do you... I think we should be promoting that one next week. And speaking of next week, Jason,
speaking of next week, look at you with your segues. I'm proud of you. We are going to be at Finn McCool's hanging out to celebrate our 100th episode.
Pretty crazy.
The fact that we said that we would not do this past 10 episodes if we didn't make any money.
Yeah. And here we are.
Here we are. We're at
not making any money.
We're at 99 now. Next week we'll be at number 100. Yes. And we're just going to hang out and have some drinks with friends, have some fish and chips, because last time I got a sandwich. What was up with that?
I don't know. You were feeling healthy, I guess.
Well, I had a Reuben. That's not exactly what you'd call healthy. But yeah, Bob was in town because we did our new voiceovers. But I love Finn's. Come hang out. We actually were planning to do a live show, but there's some soccer on the TVs.
Yeah,
so we can't do it because they wouldn't turn down the volume.
Yeah, maybe next time. Maybe for episode 200.
Yeah, maybe for episode 200 we'll rent it, because then we'll be rich.
Oh, yeah.
Not. So, yeah, come hang out with us. I mean, seriously, I'm in town. That's my last day in town. I'm going back to the wasteland of Chicago the next day. So it'll be fun. We'll have adult beverages and lots of fun time.
Yes, it'll be a good time. So I will see you in person next week, Jason. And if anybody's in the area, come on down and buy us a pint.
Indeed. Well, you can tell I'm in Los Angeles because the Gardeners are here now. So we're gonna finish up this episode. Grumpy Old Geeks is a fan-supported show. If you'd like to help keep the lights on, you can donate at grumpyoldgeeks.com. $10 or more will get you a copy of our official soundtrack provided by the band Among Us, who you can also find on iTunes and Spotify. On social media, you can find us at facebook.com/grumpyoldgeeks or twitter.com/GOGpodcast. We really, really, really appreciate your iTunes ratings and reviews. Just go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and leave us a few words and preferably 5 stars. We are hosted by Libsyn. Use the coupon code GOG while signing up and receive up to 2 months free. Show notes for this episode can be found at grumpyoldgeeks.com/99.
Because poop.